Welcome to Science in Your Shopping Cart, a new series that shows how science touches many of the products you buy at the grocery store, from new varieties of fruits and vegetables to technological advances that make your food safer, cheaper, and tastier. I'm Todd Silver. Unless you've been living under a rock, you already know that honeybees and their pollinating cousins are essential to human life. Without honeybees, we cannot grow a lot of the food we love. Honeybees have been around for millions of years, but they face many challenges in today's environment, and their populations ebb and flow. There's predators like the northern giant hornet, there's changing climate conditions, there's insecticides, there's mites carrying diseases, there's food deserts. The number of risks to honeybees is long and growing. What we've learned over decades of bee research is that honeybees and other pollinators are survivors. They're adapters, and they have a powerful ally in humans, mainly because we rely on one another to live and prosper on this planet. Keeping bees healthy and happy, yes, happy, because as you'll learn in this podcast, bees can get really stressed. It's paramount to us all. In fact, bees are so important to agriculture that ARS is conducting pollinator research all over the country. So how do honeybees fit into this podcast, Science in Your Shopping Cart? Well, if it wasn't for honeybees and their pollinator friends, there'd be a lot less food to put in your shopping cart. Oh, and of course there's honey, which you can put in your shopping cart. So there you go. There's a lively discussion in the science community over the state of honeybee populations. Are honeybees dying at an alarming rate? How are they handling climate change? What are their biggest threats? How resilient can they be? I wanted to get an expert's take on this, so I traveled to Beltsville, Maryland, and had to sit down with Dr. Jay Evans. He's a research entomologist at the ARS Bee Research Lab. Evans is also one of the world's leading honeybee experts.
The total number of honeybee colonies has remained fairly even over the last couple decades. But we hear from beekeepers and we see ourselves that those colonies are only there because of a lot of extra work by the beekeepers. They have to replace colonies every year, maybe multiple times a year, because of losses from disease and other factors, including stress. The main thing we hear from beekeepers is over the winter they might lose 30 to 40% of their colonies and sometimes higher. So even though they're rebuilding with much effort each year, we hear from many of them, and these are beekeepers who have kept bees for decades, that they can't keep their colonies healthy and alive consistently.
This sounds like colony collapse disorder, or CCD. This was a huge phenomenon that occurred in the early 2000s. Where beekeepers reported losing up to 90% of their hives. A specific cause of CCD was never identified, but researchers determined that varroa mites, a virus-transmitting parasite, was frequently found in hives hit by CCD.
We're working on the premise that disease is really a big part of this. So varroa mites are a huge factor. They're harder to control now than they used to be. They're resistant to some of the available treatments. And then for whatever reason, their interaction with viruses has become more deadly for honeybees.
But varroa mites aren't the only factors contributing to colony losses. Evans pointed to the four P's: poor nutrition, pesticides, pathogens, and parasites.
Our lab is really focused on the management side. So can we reduce the disease impact? Can we help honeybees avoid disease or avoid other stress, nutrition, pesticides, and disease, and really help any type of bee survive these challenges? It's equally important, of course, to just breed and produce bees that are more resilient to the many challenges they face. But our focus is getting management tools, maybe treatments that will help beekeepers in the face of what we know are pretty important stresses.
Unlike CCD, which was pretty widespread and all of the sudden, the colony reductions occurring today are more scattered, even unpredictable, and they can occur more routinely, even among multi-generational beekeepers.
That's one of the intriguing parts of all this, is that not every beekeeper suffers these losses, and many of them are doing the exact same management routines. One might lose 70% of their bees while the other sails through just fine. That feels like waves of an epidemic, maybe a virus, maybe a disease that comes through and really damages certain apiaries or certain populations of bees and then misses the other ones for some reason. On the positive side, that might mean that some bees are resistant to that disease and they'll be survivors. But unfortunately, we also often see that beekeepers who had a good year one year will suffer the next year. So it's almost like the disease is catching up with them at some point and they suffer the same losses.
There are so many mysteries surrounding honeybees. I mean, they've survived for millions of years, long before humans existed on this planet. Why now, in this era, where honeybees have a strong ally in beekeepers, are these pollinators facing so many challenges?
I think the disease loads are much higher than they've been in decades past. That doesn't mean the viruses are worse these days. It could be another stress or the way that we're managing bees. There is a movement to try to simplify bee management, again, to move them to healthy forage more often. There's even discussions of different hive boxes that might make it a little more comfortable for the bees in regulating their temperature and things like that. Could be that we can reduce some of the stress on them and they will use their own defenses at that point to do better.
Evans points to nutrition as one of the biggest factors in keeping bees healthy. Beekeepers are moving their honeybees all over the country these days to help pollinate crops from apples on the East Coast to almonds on the West. The long distances can be taxing on the queen and her hive, and there may not be enough nutritious food during their travels to keep them strong and healthy.
Moving bees across country certainly can be stressful. Our colleagues who are doing bee breeding have data suggesting that certain breeds do better in certain climates. So if you are focusing on one type of bee by preference or because it survived better in the past, that might lead to staying in the same areas where that bee is most adapted. And that's a really neat trend. And in the U.S., we have so many climates that there could be a bee strain in the Northeast that does great for long winters and another one in Arizona that survives long droughts and a lot of heat.
Indeed, honeybees have adapted to new climates, but our changing climate conditions have reduced food availability in certain areas, such as regions stricken by drought.
And it does seem inevitable that the climate is changing to the extent that crops and bees will be affected. Honeybees, of all the pollinators, are the most resilient. They now live in the tropics and in the Arctic, so they're very good at dealing with different seasons and length of season. But the foods that they'll find and the economic foods that are available to them will certainly change. On the more weather side of things, so droughts are certainly affecting the bee losses, just because the bees can't build up their populations late in the summer to get through winter.
Overwintering has become a popular practice among beekeepers. As you'll hear in an upcoming episode, beekeepers are sheltering their bees longer over the winter, giving them more time to rest ahead of the busy spring and summer pollinating periods. That's especially important when caring for the queen, who can lay over 3,000 babies a day when healthy.
Every time you produce a bee, it takes a lot of resources, and if that bee isn't going to return those resources by foraging, it's a loss to the colony, and that means a failure to build the colony up during the summer and to be large enough and to have healthy workers going into winter. So what we see in some of our colonies is they have okay numbers in October, a little bit lower than we want in November, and then by the time the forage starts in March, there aren't any bees left in many of those colonies, so we actually lose them because they just don't quite make it a typical winter anymore.
With fewer worker bees bringing food back to the hive and protecting the hive, the queen and her babies can get stressed, much like we get stressed. In fact, later in the season of Science in Your Shopping Cart on Bees, you'll hear about one researcher who's studying the negative behaviors of bees that are hangry.
Stress is the same in any organism. It can cause them to age a little faster. A lot of the bee diseases don't cause bees to die instantly, but they take 2 or 3 days off the end of their lives. And then that means that the foragers, which are the oldest bees in the colony, are dying with many fewer trips out of the hive. So the food coming in is reduced.
I asked Evans if there are things honeybees can do themselves to avoid stress.
You know, it's interesting. We're looking a bit at plants. Pollen and nectar do have chemicals in them that stimulate immunity in some cases, and maybe they decrease the stress in the bees. So we're really interested in seeing if there are ways when the bees are foraging on flowers that they can collect foods that help them deal with stress and disease that way. Other than that, a lot of it comes back to nutrition. If the bees are able to provide good nutrition to the young developing bees and then also the foragers, they will deal with many stresses. Honeybees are, for insects, incredibly resilient. They've been around so long and they're able to adapt to us as farmers because most insects wouldn't be able to do what honeybees do.
This is true. Honeybees have been around for a long time, but they've never faced a confluence of threats that are present today, with even bigger challenges in the future. In our next episode, we'll look at how researchers are monitoring the long-term health and survival of honeybees.